It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm very well, thank you.
Good to have you on the show today. It's been a busy week with National Party and also with New Zealand politics. We've seen some really massive legislation be sort of tabled here. I want to have a chat about Christopher Luxon. He's been in the news not necessarily in a positive light in response to some things he's been announcing. Last week, he announced that the National Party's intention would be to establish consequences for a category known as young serious offenders, that's for children between the ages of 10 to 17, who could face consequences such as military boot camps or electronic monitoring for serious offending, which it would be particularly things like ram raids and aggravated robbery. This has been really widely criticised as an ineffective and harmful policy. We've also seen that boot camps haven't worked in New Zealand before, nor in places like the States. What makes National think that it's going to work this time?
Well, just to be clear on the policy, there are two parts there that you've mixed together. So the first is we've created a new category of young serious offender, and that's for people aged 10 to 17. And there are a range of options for what could happen with young serious offenders, including being supervised in the community and being subject to electronic surveillance. The military academies, which we have proposed, are only for children aged 15 to 17.
No, that's still very very young, though, to be talking about something like a military boot camp here. Also, to be talking about electronic monitoring for very young folks is quite significant. Why is the National Party thinking these are going to be effective policies?
Well, with the military academy proposal, what we're wanting to do there is something completely new. And the idea is, if we've got a group of young offenders, this is a really small group, you know, we're estimating no more than 60, but they're repeatedly offending, they're showing themselves to be trapped in that pattern of crime and they're not getting out of it. We actually owe it to them as a community to give them a chance to turn their lives around. And we propose these military academies will offer the best of the military in terms of mentorship, in terms of discipline, in terms of leadership skills, but will also incorporate what the evidence tells us is the most effective for rehabilitating youth offenders, whether that's drug and alcohol counselling, whether that's proper mentoring, whether that's counselling and other forms of support. We want to put that into these young people when they're in one place, being safe, being looked after, free from the threat of reoffending.
Now, how is this any different from what the National Party proposed back in 2017 or what we've seen displayed in countries like the United States, where it's been widely accepted now that military boot camps aren't an effective way of preventing reoffending?
Well, if you said to me these camps are only going to be about military discipline, then, yep, I'd accept that that's something that there have been studies showing that that's not as effective as it could be. But what we're talking about is something new, something that uses military bases, which hasn't been done in New Zealand before, uses some of the best that the military has to offer, but combines that with other things, as I said, the counselling, the rehabilitation, the mentoring, the peer support, and we think giving that intensive supervision and assistance to these young people will give them a much better chance than the status quo.
Okay,
because
let's
remember what happens to a lot of them now. They keep on offending, they end up on a fast track to jail. We don't want that for them.
We do know that introducing children to the system at a young age ultimately leads to pathways that are very difficult to be removed from later in life. One of the major issues that has been raised about this is why the military? If you're saying you want counselling, you want wraparound mental health support, sure, that's great. We know those are things that help young people on a difficult path. But why the military? Why not use different support systems for that?
We think the military has a great record of instilling values of leadership, of discipline, of providing structure and providing future pathways. And if you look at the youth justice system today, there are a group of offenders who do go to youth justice facilities, which are quite different from what we're proposing. We're wanting to create additional options because let's look at the status quo. There is a ram raid in New Zealand right now every 15 hours. The number of ram raids has increased more than fivefold under Labor. And there's clearly a group of recidivist young offenders who just keep doing it, who are trapped in some really bad patterns of behaviour, and we need to exit them from those paths.
Okay, well, is this, as some people have argued, the boot camp at the bottom of the cliff? Why not look at earlier preventative strategies to prevent young people from even getting on this path in the first place?
Well, absolutely, we need to do both, and we will continue to invest in community initiatives to provide mentoring and support to young people. But you can look at this as an intervention that's at a really important juncture in someone's life course. We can choose to let them keep reoffending and end up, as I said, on the fast track to the adult prison system. Or we can take this opportunity to provide an intensive intervention that's designed to give them a chance, and that's what National wants to do.
All right, well, let's keep on the topic of young people at the moment. There's been a landmark Supreme Court ruling in Aotearoa this week that the existing age of 18 for voting is discriminatory and breaches the human rights of young people. Now, the government said that they'll be tabling a bill, drafting legislation to change the voting age to 16, and the National Party has said that they're not supportive of this. What are your concerns?
Well, we think that you have to draw the line somewhere, and 18 is largely considered the age of adulthood in New Zealand. So if we go back to the discussion we've just been having, our law treats 16 and 17-year-old offenders differently from 18-year-olds, and that's because there's a widespread societal view that you don't reach full adulthood to 18. The same for buying alcohol. The same for actually if you want to fully join the army as a recruit, you have to be 18. The same for if you want to get married.
But
if you're under 18 in New Zealand, you need to go to the family court for permission.
But you can leave school. You can leave school at the age of 16, and you can start working in part-time or full-time work, which therefore you're being taxed without representation, which is a significant, very significant problem there. Why is this? I mean, this is one of those conversations we could go back and forth on that, but is there something that the National Party sees there being a potential for this conversation? Is this kicking the can down the road, or is this just a table of absolutely not for National?
We just don't see this as a pressing priority for New Zealand. And just as you can argue the age could be 16, you could argue it could be even lower. We're happy with where it's at 18. I see a lot of young people under 18 becoming engaged and involved in civics and politics and parliament and lots of other ways. That's great. I encourage that. But we're happy with the voting age where it is.
Okay, well, we'll come back to this one because this is going to be an ongoing debate. But let's talk about He Waka Eke Noa, which is the farming industry's response to the government's introduction of farming emissions to the emission trading scheme. This has been another back and forth conversation between the farming sector and the government, and there's been a little bit of movement on both sides, but we're sort of hitting a bit of a wall here. The National Party is saying that they support He Waka Eke Noa. What is it about this that you see as being, positive steps for the sector, and also what would you like to see move in this conversation?
Well, what we thought was really positive was the really well-intentioned effort by farming industry leaders to sit around the table and talk about what is the way we can work to reduce our on-farm emissions over time, given the technological limitations we face. You know, there aren't many technologies to stop cows and sheep creating methane at the moment. But what can we do realistically that allows us to take credit for the great stuff we already do on farm and will continue to do, and allows us to track a path to reducing our emissions over time? That came up with an answer, and they put that forward. And what National's really frustrated by is that the government, having taken that answer, having seen that consensus formed, then went a few steps forward. And they changed it in two key ways. First, they removed some of the offsetting ability the farmers had proposed, whereby if they did planting on farm in particular ways, mm-hmm. then they could take some emission credit for it. And the second thing was they removed some of the discretion that the agricultural community would have over the way that the price was set for those emissions on farm. What the analysis says is that under that new proposal the government's put forward, up to one in five sheep and beef farms in New Zealand would no longer be viable and would no longer be able to farm the way they do. And we're really worried about that because we actually think one of New Zealand's roles in the world is to produce low-carbon food sustainably. We do that right now. We want to continue that into the future and make it lower carbon into the future, but we've got to do that in a way that takes farmers with us.
What do you think would be the way forward for this conversation? Because there does also seem to be quite a distinction between, I guess, perhaps what the media has focused on as groundswell being one voice of farmers and He Waka Eke Noa, which is proposing a completely different thing, as you've just outlined there. What do you think is the way forward for having a bit more of a productive conversation about this as a country?
Well, I think that's what a lot of farmers want to do and what a lot of New Zealanders want to do. I think farmers want to be given credit for actually a lot of great work they do on farm, whether it's investing in better effluent systems that reduce the amount of emissions, whether it's the planting that they do, whether it's the work that they're doing to make their stock more productive and efficient. So we think there's a strong case for the government to go back to the drawing table where there was consensus and pick things up there, rather than trying to push the sector into something that goes too far, that threatens our farming future and that the sector doesn't want a bar of.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicola Willis. It's always excellent to have you on the show. We look forward to chatting to you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you. You have a great week.
You too. Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.